Wow. The longer you live and the more you see the chaos of many a nation, the dearness of that flag and what it represents means more and more to your heart. And those who have made it possible that it still flies, you appreciate to the depths of your soul. This morning, I'm inviting you to go with me to the book of 2 Timothy in chapter 2. I want to read 4 verses. And I want to speak to you on the subject of giving thanks to God for veterans. Let me explain to you, if you're a guest, that for about 4 or 5 weeks, starting with the last Sunday of October each year, and going through the Sunday preceding Thanksgiving Day, the pastor preaches a message toward giving thanks to God. The truth of the matter is, if a pastor chose to, he could preach an entire year of giving thanks to God, for the blessings of God upon us are far more than 52 Sundays. We're thankful for the 52 Sundays of a year, but if I were challenged to preach on that subject, I couldn't get in all that you and I are grateful for in 52 sermons. You certainly understand that. 3 years ago, it was something that God did in your pastor's heart that impressed upon me that I wanted to lead the church at that time and an emphasis on giving thanks, and something that I felt the Lord would have me to do. And I invited the church family to join me if they so chose, because, you know, if I stick a pistol to a person's head and tell them to give thanks, they may utter the words, but they will not give thanks, because thanksgiving is a condition of the heart. And many times in our churches, thanksgiving can be a day on the calendar. I'm not opposed to the day on the calendar. I'm all for it. But heaven help this pastor, and heaven help we as God's children if we are thankful only one day. And that precipitated in my heart this question, and I have to believe the Holy Spirit put it there. Have you done anything, was the question that came to my heart. Have you done anything to say to the Lord, Lord, I'm not doing this to get something. I just want to say thank you for the pricelessness of your grace in my heart and on my family. I think back as a child, we grew up poor. But we were not poor in some ways. There was an abundance of love. There was an abundance of parental respect and parental authority. There were lots of things that I wanted to get away with, but I had parents who thought that's not good. And as I have reviewed many times as a grown adult, my own childhood and the trek that God set in place to direct my steps, I can't talk about that very long without it becoming emotional. I have some indication of where I would be had it not been for the grace of God. And out of dealing with that in my own personal devotion, there came the birthing of this series that I do each year, and of something that I wanted to do, to make an offering to my Lord, understanding that in the text of Scripture that I've already called attention to in this year's study, where the psalmist David prepared to build an altar to the Lord, and the one that owned the property said to King David, well, I'll just give that to you. And David said, nothing doing. I won't offer my God anything that doesn't cost me something. And so starting 3 years ago, Beth and I make a gift to the Lord through this church. Lord, this is our offering of giving thanks. We're not asking for anything, though we couldn't live through the day if it wasn't for your goodness. But we want to give this to you just to say thank you that you have been so absolutely amazing in our lives. More than we could ever ask or think. And I will remind my church family this morning that today and next Sunday ends this particular time. And if you want to give the Lord a gift of thanks, that's up to you. But if you do, mark it such. There are Thanksgiving envelopes on the offering receptacles. And if you'll do that by today or next Sunday, the elders will make us aware after it's over what that offering is. And I want to thank you for anything you do give. But I would like to thank you most of all that there might well up inside of you a heart of gratitude to a God who enables that heart to beat in your bosom, who gives you a mind to think, a body that can function, an understanding of His Lordship. And on any given morning when you open your eyes, you immediately have something to thank Him for that He's entrusted with you. And it is a great entrustment of another day for which we are stewards. We manage that which really belongs to Him. I actually don't possess any time, do you? The time I have has been given me by God. And I don't know when my last day will come, but whenever it is, I want to have learned to have been thankful for all that God has given to me, and I want to treat sacredly what He gives me, and I want to show my appreciation to Him while in this journey. This morning, as I had pondered this next message, it's Veterans Day. And I wanted to give thanks to God for veterans because I do believe that we owe God gratitude for freedom. I believe God had a hand in the formation of this country. I believe that the people who have served and who believed in freedom are people that God gave of such a character that they believe that freedom is something that is both God-given and that everyone should be able to enjoy. Sadly, it is that in many nations of the world, those people don't have a clue when you and I say freedom. They don't have a clue what we're talking about. They don't know what it is, and they don't know how we got it, and they don't know how to appreciate it. But under God, we ought to. We ought to know that it came from God, that we do have certain inalienable rights, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And those really do not come to us from the Constitution. I'm glad they're mentioned in the Constitution, but they come from God. And God's Constitution supersedes every other Constitution. And this morning we rejoice at freedom. And we rejoice in those who we call on this special day of the year or this special weekend of the year, veterans. Can I read to you something that's in four little verses of 2 Timothy 2 that you're probably very familiar with? Paul writes to his younger son in ministry named Timothy. And he's really wanting to tell Timothy something about how that he is a soldier of the cross, that he is in the army or the military of God. You are one of God's ambassadors, he's really saying to Timothy. And here's what he says. Thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me are from me among many witnesses. In other words, the things you've heard me say to a lot of other people, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. Timothy, you've heard me preach a lot, and you've heard me teach a lot, and you've heard me tell God's people a lot of things. And the things that you have been able to take into your heart and soul that you've heard me tell others, I want you to take those things, and I want you to commit those same truths to faithful men, because in another generation, I want the people that I've taught and the people that you taught to tell the next generation as well. Why? Because we're one generation away always from losing what we have. I don't think people in America believe that. I don't think very many of the Church of the Lord Jesus this morning really remembers that or really knows that. But you really are. And the way to lose anything is to start to take it for granted. And generally speaking, the people that don't pay a price are the people that don't know what to have. Vance Havner said that when people do that in the Lord's work, they remind him of someone who plays marbles with diamonds. If you had several 5-carat diamonds and a little small jewelry bag, Do you think it'd be wise for children to get those out and start shooting them and play marbles with them? Why would you not want your children to do that with diamonds? Because it's way too precious, way too expensive, way too hard-earned to play with in a trivial way. And folks, freedom is that way, and the truth of God is that way, and that's why he said, Timothy, you've heard me say a lot, and what you've heard me say, that you now understand. You teach that to some faithful people because they need to tell the next generation. And here's what he said, thou therefore endure hardness. Timothy, you got to endure difficulty, he says, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to use the word soldier to be one who's enlisted in the service of God, whatever branch you want to call it. It is still in the enlistment of God's military. And he said, Timothy, I want you to remember that you're going to have to endure some hardness. There's going to be adversity. There's going to be difficulty. It's not always going to be easy. And I want you to endure it because that's what a good soldier does of Jesus Christ. And then he made this statement, no man that warreth. No man, in other words, who goes to war, who's a good soldier, wants to entangle or enweb himself with the affairs, the details of this life. And the reason being, he's got his heart set on pleasing him who's chosen him to be a soldier. Don't get tied up in the mundane, but remember the one who's called you into service. Folks, I believe the text speaks about the work of God and being in God's service. And he tells Timothy, you got to see yourself as a soldier in God's army. This morning, as I ask you to give thanks with me to our veterans, I want you to think about the following. Number one, soldiers, good soldiers, that is, want to please his or her commanding officer. The text said, don't get entangled with something because you want to please the one who's made you in the military, who's put you in service. The good soldier is not there just to twiddle his or her thumbs. They're there to please the commanding officer. You know, in a world that has lost the ability to teach respect, and all you got to do is walk in a retail store, a grocery store, or Walmart for a little while, and you can figure out that we got babies raising babies. When I see a five-year-old look back at his or her mother and scream no and kick at them and miss them, and the mother saying, now, what are you doing this time? I recognize that the kid doesn't need anything done to it. Somebody needs to take the mama out and whip her like a yard dog with a hickory and bring her back in, see if she can now be qualified to be a mother. Respect is not present because respect is not taught. Respect is not in our DNA. And one of the finest things that ever happened to some people was to go into some branch of the military. I read in Reader's Digest many years ago that the letter after 6 weeks came home like this. Dear Mom, I'm doing fine. Basic training is now ended. It's been rough. But I do want to tell you, what you spent 18 years trying to teach me, the military accomplished in less than 7 days. I now shine my shoes, put up my clothes, and make up my bed, and take my plate where it belongs when I get through eating. Thank God for the military. So the soldier wants to please his or her commanding officer. Number two, soldiers willingly volunteer for service. Now, when I was much younger, we had a draft system in this country, which I very much think is a good thing. Today, it's an all-volunteer service. Anybody that serves this day is there because they've chosen to go in. Now, if you don't mind me giving an opinion, since this isn't merely an opinion and I'm doing the preaching and so it's mine, it'd just be nice if there could be a law that upon graduation from high school, you can't enter any college anywhere till you've spent 12 months in the military of this nation. I want you to know that would change the whole nine yards. soldiers willingly volunteer for service. There has to be something in the heart of a man or woman that says, I'm going to make a contribution to the nation where I live. To this very day, when there is an anniversary of 9/11, and I watch various ones being interviewed, it is not uncommon that I hear these words. Oh, I spent 4 years in the Army. I spent 6 years in the Marines. I spent this and this branch of military. And I tell you when I went in and why. On 9/11, when I saw what happened, I said, I'm going down and sign up. I'm going to do something to defend my country. The value of that attitude is amazing. That's what separates mediocre countries from great countries. That's the difference. Soldiers willingly volunteer for service. Number three, soldiers must meet certain requirements. Did you know you just can't show up and say, I'm here? There's a lot of things, folks, that worked on Gomer Pyle that doesn't work in real military. Now, when I say they meet certain requirements, the requirements include but are not limited to various physical, educational, emotional, psychological, and medical standards. Someone has rightly said that when you get into basic training, what they do is they begin to psychologically and emotionally take you apart in order to put you back together again. They're making a warrior out of you. Folks, military is not a good place for a wimp. The military that we've had in the past didn't give everybody a trophy just for being there. God help us. And we're teaching little children that everybody ought to get a trophy. One school reported on the news said, we don't want anybody to have a complex, so this year in the graduating class, everybody is valedictorian. Has anybody got any medicine for a guy that's about to barf? I'm telling you, that's pathetic. But you meet certain requirements. And we're all not built the same, and we all can't do the same. But I tell you what we all can do. We can give our best. And everybody doesn't, even in the military, end up first of their group. But they certainly can give their best, and those who serve do. They meet certain requirements. And for that, they deserve both our thanks and our respect. Number four, soldiers agree to pay a high price in personal sacrifice. Did you notice on the screen? I just regretted it was so small, some of you couldn't see that. How many birthdays have they been away? How many anniversaries did they miss? How many times was a child born and they could not be present? How much of, and you fill in the blank, did they not get? How many times did they get word while serving on foreign soil that they have a family member that's now deceased, very unexpectedly in their thinking, and they did not get to say the goodbyes that you and I would say at the deathbed of a loved one? They've counted the cost. And they have been willing to pay a high price of personal sacrifice. They're willing to deny personal goals and ambitions. Some of them put their further education on hold or further goals they have with that's work-related or business-related. They have been separated from their family for an indefinite period of time. They have been called to live and willing to give themselves to live in very adverse conditions. Probably not an easy way to lay in the swamps of a jungle like Vietnam and do that with, no one that did that thought, you know, this is just like Hyatt Regency. No one that laid out in a 120-degree desert thought that, you know, this is better than Holiday Inn. No one thought that. But they lived in adverse conditions. They underwent times of specialized endurance fitness training. My brother was in the infantry of the United States Army, and after the basic training, which most everybody that first got in it said, this is going to kill me, they sent him off for what was known then as AIT, Advanced Infantry Training. and laid him in the swamps of Louisiana to get him ready to go lay in the swamps of Vietnam. They knew what they were doing. We need to step it up a notch. Any young man, teenager that played football in junior high found out high school is different. Anybody that played in high school and got to college thought, my soul, they have real elephants here. College is not the same as high school. And then those who made it to pro said, oh my goodness, it's not the same at all. And so they give themselves for specialized endurance fitness training. They experience unbelievable hardship. They sometimes have broken ribs. They sometimes receive lots of shrapnel. They sometimes take bullets. As you know, sometimes they die. And they go through unbelievable hardships. And they're willing to risk everything, including their life. I hesitate to mention this, but you know it's true, and I know it's true. There have been many of them through the years who went off to serve their country. And while they were gone, when they came home, their husband or wife had found somebody else and left them. And then I hear people disrespect that flag. And I think of men and women like that who paid such a price. You're not fit to stand on this soil and breathe this air after what's been sacrificed that you and I could stand in freedom. And every time somebody burns that flag, we had a Supreme Court a number of years ago drunk on something and said that it was a right for a person to burn the flag. It's fine with me if you burn it on your way out of here. Folks, what we call freedom sometimes is really stupidity. You may not need to be required to respect it, but you ought not be permitted to disrespect it. And when these people burn it, it's through the blood and sacrifice of other men and women who have given them that right. The shoes, by the way, those military shoes, that guy burning the flag's not worthy enough to untie his shoes. They're willing to risk everything, and I mean everything, including their life. And they do give it many times. Go to Washington. Look at the monuments. Think of the people. One of the phrases on the video a moment ago, I didn't know you, but I wish I did. Walk by the Vietnam Wall. Look at the memorial there for Korea. Somebody said that wasn't a war, that was a conflict. When bullets went by your head, it was nothing but a war. And sometimes these things end up being a rich man's war, and it's a poor man's fight. And while the politicians debate political correctness, we got people giving their lives and body parts and families and everything else. So soldiers agree to pay a high price in personal sacrifice. Last but not least this morning, soldiers serve selflessly for others, and they desire to finish their service with honor. No soldier wants to come out with a dishonorable discharge. Did you know they have such desire to finish their service with honor? You can talk to almost anyone that got military retirement, and they will tell you quickly, I regret I had to do that. I so wanted to stay and not have to take, not that military retirement is dishonorable at all, it's very honorable. But they wanted to finish. They wanted to finish what they went in for. So they serve selflessly for others. Folks, they're not over there for their health. That's not their idea of recreation. That's not their advanced form of a video game. They're laying it all on the line, and they want to finish the service they started with honor. This has been stated many times. Your pastor wants to state it once again. It's the veterans and not the preachers who gave us the freedom of religion. It's the veterans and not the reporters who gave us the freedom of the press. It's the veterans and not the poets who've given us the freedom of speech. It's the veterans and not the lawyers who gave us the right to a fair trial. It's the veterans and not the politicians who gave us the right to vote. It's the veterans who fought for the flag, who salute the flag, who serve under the flag, who gives us the freedom to proudly fly the flag and to wave the flag. God bless our veterans. Join me as we pray. Father, I want to confess with the people that made the video, most of them, I not only don't know, I've never heard of, but I wished I'd known them. Men and women of self-sacrifice who left homes and families and all that they knew dear to many times go and fight in an awful, awful place and give part or all of their bodies and many times all of their mind, will, and emotion so that people like me on this Sunday morning can stand in this place in Valdosta, Georgia to speak regarding the writings of Holy Scripture and how that one apostle said to a younger man, be a good soldier in the Lord Jesus Christ's service. Be willing to endure hardness. And don't ever forget you want to please the one who's made you a soldier. Today, oh God, I thank you for the men and women who have served, for those who proudly wear the uniform in the service today. I pray, oh God, for the many families that's been touched because there's been an absent chair as a result of their service. And I would pray, oh God, today that we would reflect upon what great price has been paid for such joy that is ours. We didn't leave this morning armed because we had to. No one took a shot at us as we left our doorway. We've entered this place today with people of decency, people of honor, people who love freedom, people who want the rest of the nation to know freedom. We would pray today, oh God, for our elected officials, our leaders in the Pentagon, that you would bless them with insight, give to all who serve a love renewed for this country and for freedom, for its citizens. And Lord, as long as we live, may we in our hearts be filled with thanksgiving to you for those who've served. May we be quick to thank those who've served, and may we ever give respect to those who've served. Lord, we owe you our natural birth and our spiritual birth. We could have easily been born in a part of the world who came to be taught from an early age in a false God. We could have been told a false gospel. We could have grown up under dictators and under oppression. But we are glad that we have grown up in a land that you have favored. Now help us to give consideration to what we can do to make this land a better land for the time that you give us to be here. Sanctify, O God, the truths of life that's found in your word in the hearts of this people, and bless them, every one. And as a result of the continued freedoms that are given to us by you, may many people be won to faith in Jesus Christ. May there be a sweeping sense of revival, renewal, and restoration across the land. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. I want to invite you to stand with me for this hymn of invitation.